Father, Lord, we thank You that, God, that You are so high and lifted up. And Lord, that You are holy, because in that holiness, Lord, You could provide a way that only You could provide that would take care of our sin. And God, we want to bow before You this morning, Lord, not just in our songs, but Lord, in our life and with our hearts. And God, I pray that we would put aside what we would have desired right now, and Lord, that we would open our hearts to You and Your Spirit. That God, that You would direct us. Lord, bring us to where You would have us to be, and Lord, take Your word and apply it to us. And we'll give You all the thanks and praise, for it's in Your name we pray. Amen. As you're being seated this morning, our kids are going to be dismissed in grades 1 through 4 with Brother Shannon right here to Kids Connect. Time for our kids to have a lesson just geared for them in grades 1 through 4 right there. And Brother Shannon, take you on back. All right, let's take our Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 4 this morning. Colossians chapter 4. This morning our text is going to be verses 7 through 9 as we are coming to the close of Colossians. You know, as I was studying and preparing this message, I was looking at this final section here, and I thought, you know, at the beginning of the week, I was like, you know, I'll just maybe close it on out this week and look at verses 7 through 18 and we'll just close out the book of Colossians. Then I got to studying it, and I was like, there's just too much still here and too much for us to really look at this morning. And I didn't want you to be here all morning to close it out. So we're going to look at verses 7 through 9 and really look at two men that provide a great example for us. Have you ever lost something in the mail? Have you ever lost something important? All right, for those of us that live in Heartland, we know a little bit about this. In fact, this week I had to deliver something from the IRS to my neighbor because it got put in my box. It gave me a heart attack first, and then I saw another name on it, so I quickly delivered it to the right box. You know, we wonder about the mail delivery. Sometimes we take it for granted, and sometimes it's very easy and smooth and there's no problems. But when there's something goes wrong, and especially when it's something important. We had some Christmas gifts from my brother and sister in Georgia a couple years back that never made it to our house. And all of a sudden, you know that when you lose something that's that important and valuable, there's a problem with it. And so you need faithful messengers. Faithful messengers. And what might seem to be an everyday task for us now, and what we seem is very easy, really can be a big impact. And especially here as we look at Paul as he's writing these letters, I think sometimes we look at these books of the Bible and it's very easy for us to see them as parts of our Bible instead of understanding fully the context and what they bring about, and knowing that Colossians was a letter written to a church, the church of Colossae, that he had to deliver while he was imprisoned. And how he got it there was important. And in this morning, what we're going to see is two men that he used to deliver not only this letter, but some other letters that show us the importance of faithful messengers. Faithful messengers. So let's look at these verses in verses 7 through 9. Scripture tells us, Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Now, one of the joys as you study Scripture and as you go through Scripture, A lot of times we come to the ends of books like this, and we're so used to a lot of the teaching, and we're so used to a lot of the doctrine, and then the application that Paul's given. I mean, we've just gone through a section in chapter 3 and chapter 4 that had a lot of commands. It had a lot of action. It had a lot of things that we needed to do. And then when you get to these final greetings sometimes, it's really easy just to kind of blow through it. But yet, there are some wonderful truths to be found here. And not only that, we see some names. Tychicus and Onesimus. Usually the names of those things in Scripture that we read with interpretation. Because we're like, am I going to pronounce this right? All right. Is this Tychicus? You know, how am I supposed to pronounce this? Onesimus. You know, and so we kind of just gloss over some of these names. But yet there are wonderful pictures of real life in these names. And as we look at these this morning, these two, Tychicus and Onesimus, give us a beautiful picture of faithful messengers. You see, Paul needed someone to be trustworthy enough to send some letters, to deliver these letters. As Paul was there imprisoned, he had an opportunity to write these letters. He heard reports of what's going on in these different churches, and he's writing these correspondence, these letters, to counteract the different heresies. As we saw in Colossians, we saw the heresy of the Gnostics and that they were trying to add to Christ. And so he is presenting Christ in his fullness in it. And so he needs somebody faithful enough to deliver these letters. And not only was Colossae and the Colossians, was this letter delivered, but we also see the book of Ephesians, that letter was also probably delivered at the same time, as we see almost word for word this description of Tychicus listed in the end of Ephesians in chapter 6. So Ephesians and Colossians were delivered. We're going to see Onesimus this morning, and his backstory is really found in the book of Philemon. And most likely the book of Philemon, which was a personal letter to Philemon, a believer in the church of the Colossians, that letter was delivered at the same time as well. At the end of Colossians, there's also mentioned a letter from Laodicea, that there could have possibly been another letter to Laodicea that we don't have here. So all of these letters that Paul has written that now needs to be sent, and he needed someone trustworthy to send this message. So here we see Tychicus and Onesimus, and they give us this picture by their lives of a faithful messenger. And I want you to see one thing from each of their lives. This morning from Tychicus, I want you to see the example. I want you to see the fact that it is that we see a trusted delivery. A trusted delivery. Of a faithful messenger, it must exhibit a trusted delivery. In verse 7, Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother, faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. And I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Tychicus is not one of those mainstay names, although he is mentioned five different times throughout the New Testament. We see him mentioned in the book of Acts, in the book of Ephesians, and here in Colossians, and we see him in Titus and 2 Timothy. And Tychicus was a messenger for Paul. And if you go back to the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 4, we see that Tychicus was a convert at the church of Ephesus, that he joined them there in that ministry in Ephesus, in Asia. And as we see this happening, you can kind of begin to piece together how Tychicus' ministry with Paul worked out. If he was a convert at Ephesus, there was a lot of things that he experienced. At Ephesus was a big riot because Paul had really messed up their doctrine, and the silversmiths had gotten mad because they aren't buying the idols the way they used to. And so the silversmiths started a riot. And in so doing, Tychicus got to see all that happened and transpired, and Paul's devotion unto the Lord and all that happened in the middle of this riot. From there, we see that Paul traveled back to Jerusalem, and Tychicus went with him. And there in Jerusalem, he was arrested. He sees all this happen. He travels with Paul during these different imprisonments in Caesarea and the different trials before the governors and the kings and all these things that were going back and forth. And then in being transported to Rome, Paul was shipwrecked. most likely took us there with that group, seeing all this, going through all this, staying by his side. And now as he is there in house arrest in Rome and he's writing these letters back, who is there to deliver these messages but Tychicus? That's why when you see Paul use these words, beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant, it's because Tychicus had been there with him through the thick and the thin. He had been a faithful minister with him. He says, you're a beloved brother. This shows that devotion that he's had. He has stuck with Paul. Listen, Paul had no trouble calling out people, did he not? I mean, there are different times in different letters that he just flat says, you need to avoid this person, and you need to do this, and you know what? Hey, Demas, he's forsaken me, he's chosen this world. Paul had no trouble calling out problems. But when he called you a beloved brother, and all that you've gone through, and all that he has been, and he is sitting there in prison, and here's one that didn't cut and run at the sight of trouble, that stuck with him. He said, he is my beloved brother. You ever had that friend that stuck with you through the thick and the thin? That one that you knew you could count on? Proverbs 18:24, it tells us that there is a man that has many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Here's Tychicus, Paul's beloved brother. And when he had these important messages that he needed to get to Ephesus and to Colossians and to Philemon and all these areas, he knew he could count on Tychicus. He was a beloved brother. Then he says he's a faithful minister. A faithful minister. The word here for minister is that idea of a servant. That's the word where we get the idea of a deacon. He was a faithful servant, a servant of the church and a servant for the needs of the people. He was faithful and he was active in that faithfulness. He served. Can you imagine going through all that they had seen and all that they had done, and Paul counted on him as being faithful through it all. He served their needs. And then he says, you are a fellow servant. Tychicus is a fellow servant. The word here for servant is the same word that we've seen earlier used for bond servants or slaves. But Paul does something interesting with the word. He adds a little compound to it that means with. With. He says, Tychicus is my fellow bond servant because he serves with me. He's gone through all of this. Can you imagine when you see these words that Paul is giving this commendation to Tychicus saying, hey, it's like I'm giving you a piece of me. This is a guy who's faithful. This is a guy who's been through the thick and the thin, and he is there. And when he says fellow servant, he's saying he's on common ground. In other words, there's no small things that we can do in the service of the Lord. Even this idea of taking some letters and carrying some letters, it was no small thing. He was a fellow servant. Sometimes it's very easy for us in our human mindset to put a hierarchy and try to put a weight on different acts of service versus other things. But understand, when we do it unto the Lord, there is no small thing. There is no small thing and no small service that can't be rendered. That we all are working together in this mission to see people come to know Christ. And every aspect is important. Every service and every act is important. Not only in the church, but also when we go from this church. Every act and everything that we can do in the honor and the glory of the Lord. I used to have a shirt back in the early 90s. And when I was growing up in Florida, it was really hard to get Dallas Cowboys stuff in Florida. I don't know why, but they like the Buccaneers and the Dolphins down there, and they're just terrible. And so one of my dad's friends sent a shirt back, and on the shirt it had five different big, large heads. And, you know, those little cartoon bodies type things. And it was Mark Tuinay, John Gesick, Mark Stepnoski, Nate Newton, and Eric Williams. And for the rest of you Dallas Cowboy nerds out there, that was their offensive line, all right, in the early 90s. That was the offensive line that Emmitt Smith ran behind. And yes, I'm a nerd because I remembered all those names. But you know what? Those guys were hardly celebrated. Emmett Smith was lifted up. Emmett Smith was celebrated. Emmett Smith got the awards for the most running, most yards as a running back. Emmett Smith got all the MVP acclamations. But you know what? Emmett Smith was also smart. Because at the end of each year, he gave those guys wonderful gifts. Because he knew, I can't do it without you. I'm not running unless you're blocking for me. He gave them Rolexes and different gifts and expensive gift certificates and different things. He really lavished them with wonderful gifts, because there is no small thing. When we think that we can do it all by ourselves, we are destined to fall. But here we see Paul says, listen, he is my fellow servant. He's here with me. He's working together. And then we see that purpose there. Notice, I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. So not only is he bringing these letters and he's bringing this doctrine, this teaching, but he's also coming with news of Paul. See, in this time period, in the Roman time period, there were really two options for private citizens on letter carrying. There was a imperial Roman system, but that was reserved for government use. So private citizens had two ways of delivering mail. They could do it by happenstance. In other words, hey, there's this group of people that they're traveling from this city to this city. Hey, could you drop off this letter for me? That sounds encouraging, right? Hey, you're going to Terrell tomorrow. Could you drop this off for me? You know how that kind of thing happened? When we lived in Junction, Walmart was 45 minutes away. And so when someone was going to town, we had to ask them, hey, if you're going to town, could you pick up something for us just by happenstance? You know, and so there was this idea of, hey, you know what? If this group is going, if you're heading that direction, could you take this for me? Then there was the private letter carrier, you know, someone that you would commission, someone that you would give, and this was someone that was trustworthy, and someone that you were specifically designating to send that way. And here was Tychicus, the private carrier. They were most trusted, and especially in letter writing, because they were able to not only read the letter with the right tonation, in other words, they were able to give the right feeling to the letter. Because, you know, sometimes it's easy to lose things in translation. You ever done that with a text message? You know, that you think somebody's saying one thing and they're getting an attitude with you and they're not. And, you know, and all of a sudden you got a fight going and it was over nothing just because someone hit a wrong button and autocorrect put a wrong word in there. All right. Paul was sending somebody that was going to be able to read the letter and be able to say, you know what, this is what he means. This is what he's bringing about. When he was writing this, this is what he's talking about. And he was able to give the right tonation. He was trusted to deliver the truth. And then he was able to answer the questions that would come about it. Think about what was being transmitted here. These truths that he was giving to him. He needed somebody. And here Tychicus shows us this trusted delivery. And it was trusted because he was dependable and because he was good at assisting Paul. We need all of those ministries together. And dependability makes us valuable. Tychicus was trusted to deliver, and every little thing that he did, he understood was worthy service to Christ. It reminds us of earlier in chapter 3 and verse 23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. That in every little aspect that we have an opportunity to do it as unto the Lord, as worthy service unto him. And here's this example from Tychicus. The message that was entrusted to Tychicus involved the truths, the teachings that we see here in the book of Colossians. Think about this. He was carrying the word of God. Do you think he understood all that as he was going through? I mean, no pressure, right? You know, I got the original text, Word of God, here with me. This is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and I got it with me, and I got to carry it to these different places. And guess what? We're still reading of it and studying it today. There's a dependability that he was asked to do. There was an entrusted message that Paul entrusted Tychicus to get this there. We see that trusted delivery. Now think about that in our lives. What have we been entrusted with? 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, "But just as we've been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts." We are entrusted with the message, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that here we have in our hands that Word of God. And if we believe it to be the Word of God, shouldn't it transform our lives in such a way that we can then deliver it to others? That others can see it in us? Here we see our opportunity as being entrusted with this Word of God to help show others, not what we think, not what we read in some other textbook, but able to look here and say, hey, this is what God has said. Here's the truth of the Word of God. And the example of Tychicus, then it asks these questions, are we that dependable? And are we assisting or hindering the message? We see the trusted delivery. But not only that, in Onesimus, in verse 9, we see a living example. A living example. Verse 9, "And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, and they will tell you of everything that has taken place here." Now, you say, how do you get all that from Onesimus? Again, knowing Onesimus' story, I encourage you, go back even this afternoon, sometime this week, read the book of Philemon. It is one chapter. All right? It is not that difficult to read. All right? Read the book of Philemon and you will see the story that accompanies the life of Onesimus. Onesimus' name, it means useful. It means useful. But as you read Philemon, you will find that there was a problem with Onesimus, and that he was being very useless. In fact, in Philemon verse 11, it says, "Formerly he was useless to you." Philemon was most likely the owner of Onesimus. And Onesimus was a slave, a servant in the house of Philemon. Now, Philemon was a Christian. He was a believer in the church here in Colossae. And in so doing, he would not have, or he was not to be like the other slave owners and servant owners, that he was there to be kind and see these, as we saw earlier in Colossians chapter 3 and earlier in chapter 4, that they were to be kind and treat their bond servants justly. And so there was a difference amongst Philemon and his attitude to Onesimus, but yet still Onesimus was useless to Philemon. And so he had run away. Now, legally, there were some different options with a runaway slave or servant, some different things that could transpire, and one of them was called the amicus domini. And what would happen there is that slave would seek out a friend of the master, and he would find a person to intercede on his behalf, someone that could go before him and kind of soften the master and kind of help bring restitution to the situation. All we know is that Philemon had lost Onesimus. He was useless. He had run away. And now Onesimus had found Paul in Rome. Whether through happenstance or whether through this idea of the amicus domini, of knowing that he had seen Paul there at some point ministering and teaching, and he has sought out Paul for help. When he comes to Paul, Onesimus comes to Christ, and we see a change in the life of Onesimus. Because as you read the book of Philemon, it's a beautiful picture of Paul pleading to Philemon of, you need to pardon him, welcome him back, put him back as a brother, and listen, if there's anything charged to his account, charge it to mine. I'll take care of it. And you see a beautiful picture. He's saying, listen, he is now profitable unto you. He was converted and now he is being sent back with Tychicus to Philemon, to this church. And in so doing, he's being sent back for restitution. He's being sent back to restore and to come back to the house of Philemon and to work the way in which he's supposed to. And yet, here in this picture, we see him describe Onesimus as our faithful and beloved brother. Why would he describe a runaway, useless employee, why would he describe him as being faithful and beloved? Because there was a life change. Because he came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ there is a transforming power that can make the useless into the useful. And here now we see Paul writing to this group and saying, listen, receive Onesimus with Tychicus. It's kind of interesting. Because notice what he says there. He is now one of you. One of you. What is that? That's that tie that binds us all together. And that is grace. Because you see, as we saw earlier in the end of chapter 3 and 4, that the difference that society wanted to put on the societal standards of who was a slave and who was a master, Paul is saying, listen, that all went away in Jesus Christ. That we are one in Jesus Christ. And now here comes Onesimus, that who was useless. He's now saying through Jesus Christ, grace has transformed him. And now he's coming back to you, useful, profitable. Receive him as one of you. It'd be kind of like that person walking through these doors that you knew their whole backstory. You knew all their dirt. You knew all their trash. You knew how they had lived. And you see them walk through the doors and to say, I've been changed by the grace of God. To be received as one of you. Now, Paul wrote a whole letter specifically to Philemon about the life change of Onesimus. He gave the accreditation for that. And then what he does is he adds this here in this letter, and it kind of allows there to be a now kind of a public knowledge of, hey, Onesimus is coming back. Because, you know, if it's anything like our church today, there is no way that there could be any gossip whatsoever if Onesimus came back and the people would be looking around like, that's Onesimus. What is he doing here? Didn't he run away? I mean, you know, churches never do things like that, right? Well, Paul sits there and says, listen, receive Onesimus as one of you. He's a faithful and beloved brother. He is giving commendation, not just to Onesimus, but he's giving commendation to the grace of God. This grace changes lives. Here, Onesimus shows us this faithful messenger will be a living example of the message. That Onesimus was an example of the grace and the life change that comes through Jesus Christ. And as Paul was writing a letter about the fullness of Jesus Christ and how he can transform our lives, he's saying, listen, here is a personal example in the life of Onesimus. Isn't God good? Doesn't he change lives? And if he does, he gives us this beautiful opportunity not to walk through this life high and lifted up as we are our own masters, but to say, you know what? It's the grace of God that changes me. Because sitting in this room is people all in the same boat. We're all sinners. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, we would be in a bad spot. But he transformed us. So we should typify that gospel message of grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. We have the opportunity to lift high the name of Jesus and not who we are. Here in these two, these faithful messengers, we see this picture. But then it gives us this beautiful question. As we see the life of Tychicus, the life of Onesimus, and we see what Paul has to say, how Paul uses them, it allows us to ask this question, what can God do with you? What can God do with you? We see these people mentioned and we think about all that's going on in their life, but what was outstanding about these faithful messengers was the fullness of Christ that was seen in them. Tychicus went through all of this. He stood by Paul's side. He was a beloved brother. He was a faithful minister. He was a fellow servant. And he showed that in all of this because Jesus Christ was worthy of the service. That Jesus Christ was worthy of this life. Onesimus was now coming back to his scene of the crime. He's coming back to that in which he was wronged. Why? Because God had changed his life through Jesus Christ. There was now a grace, and that which was broken has now been restored. and he can come back to this home. What can God do with you? He has a way of turning that ordinary into extraordinary, of turning the broken into the restored, turning the lost into the found, the useless into the useful, the insignificant into the significant, and to turn the sinners into saints. What can God do with you? This morning, I want to read this poem for you. Some of you may have heard it, and if you've heard it, I know that you, like me, will love to hear it again. The poem's called "The Touch of the Master's Hand." And it reminded me so much of these lives of Tychicus and Onesimus. These names that we just see written in Scripture, that when we see their story throughout Scripture and we put it all together, it shows what God can do with you. The poem says, "'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it was scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bidding, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar, then two, only two? $2, and who make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three, but no." From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then, wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loose strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bidden for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, and who'll make it two? $2,000, and who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, he said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with a life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once and going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the master's hand. What can God do with you? Well, he wants to do something incredible. Will you let him this morning? Shall we stand? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, this morning we've looked at these two examples, Tychicus, Onesimus, examples of worthy service to produce a trusted delivery, an example of life-changing grace that makes us useful. This morning, as you're standing here, if your heart's open this morning, what is God calling upon you to do? I ask you first, do you know that transforming power of Jesus Christ in your life this morning? Do you know what He and He alone can do? That through the cross, His blood has paid the price for your sin, that which separated you from God. And this morning you can come and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Do you know that transforming power? If not, I want to meet you down here. If you know that transforming power, can I ask you this morning, what is God doing with you? Are you a trusted deliverer? living example of that grace. There are no small things and there are no small opportunities that we have for Jesus Christ. What are you holding back from Him this morning that you could give to Him? That you could allow the Master to pick up that bow in your life to play something incredible. Maybe this morning you just need to come and talk to Him. That's what this altar is here for. A place where you can come and just pour it out before the Lord. As we sing, respond to Him this morning. I'll be down front. And how God is moving upon you, allow Him. Don't hold Him back. And see what God can do with you. Our dear Father, Lord, just work now in this time as only You can. God, I pray that Your power and Your Spirit would move. Give us the courage to act. Help us, Lord, to step out. Lord, help us to see what You can do with our lives. We give You all the thanks and praise and all the glory. For it's in Your name we pray.